How's everyone doing this morning? Good? Are you doing well? Yeah? How about the kids? Can the kiddos make some noise this morning? Oh, you can do better than that. Come on, give me a shout, kiddos. All right. Now you got to be quiet the rest of the time. You got it all out of you. Oh, man. Well, good morning, everybody. It was a little beautiful, like wintry Sunday morning, wasn't it? You guys risked it, just like Pastor Matt said. All right, we got some hand claps for the snow. I dig it. I am honored to be able to share the word with you, with you all this morning. As Pastor Matt said, we are kicking off a new series. But before we begin, I do want to ask you all a question. Have you ever noticed how hope shows up in the smallest places? I don't know if you got to see it, but this morning there was an awesome sunrise that lasted about 15 seconds. There's hope in that sunrise. Maybe it's a sunset where there's hope. Maybe it's the stars at night. Maybe it is the snow. Maybe that's a little glimpse of hope. For some people, that's more of a glimpse of stress. But hope has a way of showing up right when you need it most. Maybe it's a scripture that meets you right where you are at. You know, hope has a way of breaking through even when life feels uncertain. And yet, even in those moments, we all still face seasons. Seasons where we're waiting, seasons where we're praying, seasons where we are hoping, and we're not quite sure what God is gonna do. We're not quite sure what's on the other side of this hope. So this morning we get to kick off this new series called In the Waiting. And in this series, we'll walk through Advent. We'll actually learn how to live with hope, peace, joy, and the love of Christ in a season of waiting. And I understand it's kind of one of those Sundays where it's like, yeah, everybody, let's get fired up to wait. It's not really what happens, right? Because waiting can be hard. I am very impatient. Right on cue. You know what's funny? That was not planned at all. I am impatient. Man, but you know what? Just like Israel believed for Jesus' first coming, we actually have the opportunity and the responsibility to wait for Jesus to come again. Jesus is alive and he's coming back. So what does it look like to wait? You know, between the Old and New Testament, there were hundreds of years of silence. Sometimes when we go through things, it can feel like hundreds of years of silence. And for Israel during that time, there was no new prophets. There was no new fresh revelation. There was no new direction. It was just waiting. But the truth is still the same today. We can experience the hope of Christ in the waiting. Can experience the hope of Christ in the waiting when we trust that the God who started the work will be faithful to complete the work. We serve a God who shows up. We serve a God who is faithful. So I want to turn to Isaiah 9. We're going to look at verses 1-7. It's going to be on the screen for you. It says this, "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoiced at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. Did you ever notice that context that sets up this next scripture that we might be more familiar with? For a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. The book of Isaiah presents this beautiful prophetic picture of Jesus, the Messiah, the one who would come to save, redeem, and restore people to God. That's a picture of glory, but it's also a picture of deep darkness. It says the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. But I want you to catch point one, number one this morning. Hope begins when God speaks. Hope begins when God speaks. In a time of great darkness, God promised to send a light that would shine on everyone living in the shadow of death. What a promise to cling to. This light was a person who would be both all-loving, but also all-powerful. These verses capture Jesus in all his splendor and majesty and compassion and mercy. He is our living hope. And Isaiah uses these four names to describe the Messiah, and they hold special significance for us. Number one, Wonderful Counselor. He is exceptional, distinguished, and without comparison. He's the one who gives the right advice, guidance, and wisdom, always. He's Mighty God. He is God himself. He's God incarnate, the infinite hero of his people, the one who has triumphed over sin and death. He's Everlasting Father. He is timeless. He doesn't run out. He is God our Father. He rules upon the throne of David and within the hearts of the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He is the Prince of Peace. His reign will bring about ultimate peace. And his government is one of justice and fairness. All these things are our Jesus. All these things prophesied 700 years before he came. That's the tension. Isaiah spoke these words about a child. Probably don't have a picture of a child in your mind when you hear all those things about who Jesus is. It was a beautiful promise to cling to. But there was still 700 years of waiting. Have you ever waited for something and it felt like 700 years? 700 years of waiting. For perspective, did you know the United States of America is only 249 years old? That puts 700 years into perspective. 700 years of darkness and longing, hoping for a savior. 700 years between promise and fulfillment. That's a long time to wait. Darkness, despair, have you been there? Have you been there in that season of waiting? God sees you in your waiting. Maybe you're in the middle of waiting for the fulfillment of a promise. You've got a word from the Lord and you are clinging to it. Maybe you're waiting for your healing. Maybe you're waiting for a breakthrough. Maybe you're waiting for salvation over a family member or a friend. Maybe you're waiting in the storm or the darkness of a diagnosis. Maybe you're waiting for a child. David in Psalm 13, he paints this picture beautifully in verse 1. He says, oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? David is honest. And if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of us have found ourselves in that spot, that same spot as David, because in the waiting, what happens is there's the temptation to drift from hope into some other things. We drift from hope into worry. We drift from hope into fear. We drift from hope to worst case scenarios. Like you can anticipate bad things are around the corner. We drift from hope to self-focus. Just thinking about ourselves in our waiting. What do you do in dark times of waiting, especially when it lasts? We know we have the promise of Jesus to cling to, but waiting is real. And sometimes it really stinks. My personal tendency can be to become self-focused and lean into worry a little bit more than hope. It's like I can maybe think about a bad thing happening, and then I can actually almost psych myself out enough to anticipate that bad thing's going to happen. You know what that is? That's not hope in the waiting. That's fear in the waiting. And it comes quickly, doesn't it? So what do we actually do? What are we actually supposed to do while we wait? I want to go to Acts 1. Before we get there, I want you to know that we stay grounded in Jesus while we wait. And what happens when we do that is point number two, hope grows while we wait. It actually grows while we wait, which tells me that there's something that the Lord wants to do in our hearts while we wait. He wants our attention. He wants us more in our waiting. It gets our minds a little bit more off of ourselves and a little bit more onto Jesus. And what happens is that living hope that's in our hearts, it starts to grow. It starts to grow. So I want to look at the disciples in Acts 1. These scriptures, they come after Jesus suffered, after he died, and after he was resurrected. So we're going to go right to the first chapter and look at verses 4 and 5 in Acts 1. And I want you to catch this. It says, once when he, that's Jesus, was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, verse 5, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In the NIV, verse 4, it actually says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. What happens next? Jesus gives them the promise. It's his word. What he says is, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Imagine being told by Jesus that's going to happen to you. Imagine standing there. Jesus is with you, resurrected, and he says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, but you have to wait. I'd be like, what? I want it now. Like, come on, man. I want that power now. I want it. How do I get it? How do I access it? What do I do? He says, just wait. Like, that's not how this works, Jesus. Wait. Don't leave. Wait. I would be fired up for this to happen. For power from the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. So what happens? He just floats on up into the clouds and ascends away. Ascension happens. It's like, wait a second, I want this now, and now you're just floating into the sky? What is going on? Taken up into a cloud? You just said that, what? Imagine that. Talk about in the waiting. I'd be confused. You know what I would do? I would take matters into my own hand. And I would challenge his word for me. I would say, you just said this was going to happen. I guess it's not going to happen because you went away. How easy do we do that? How easy do we take matters into our own hands when we know we have a truth from the Lord, but we're just going to move on without him? In a way, that's actually what my tendency can be when I worry or I can anticipate bad things instead of clinging to him and clinging to the hope. It's easy and it's a slippery slope. He said that they were going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and in an instant, he was taken up. So these scriptures go on. Verse 10, as they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? You know how I read that? It's almost like, why are you just standing here waiting around? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven the same way you saw him go. So there's another promise. They're still waiting for the promise of this power. Now they're waiting for his return. They're like, okay, I guess he'll be back. Verse 12, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. You see what's happening? They did what he said. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. Verse 14, they all met together and they were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women in the upper room, and the brothers of Jesus. They've seen the resurrected Christ, but the spirit that Jesus promised still hasn't come. So what's happening? They are between promise and power. And they've got a choice to make. No timeline, no details, no clarity. Just a word, wait. So what do? They are obedient and they trust the Lord at his word. They are united in prayer and they choose surrender to him and reliance on him instead of taking matters into their own hands. They could have chosen not to listen. They could have chosen to leave. They could have chosen to walk in their own strength, but they didn't. They were constantly united in prayer, obeying Jesus. They chose to hope in the waiting. And their hope, it was alive because Jesus was alive, not because the promise was yet fulfilled. The disciples waited in the upper room. They trusted his promise. They didn't know how long to wait, only who to wait on. You know, hope trusts God's timing, not only his word. Hope prays while it waits. Hope stays together, constantly united in prayer. If you're in a tough season of waiting, bring somebody into it with you. Bring a mentor into it. Run your situation by a trusted member of wise counsel, so to speak, someone who's been through it. Man, what are you doing? You're waiting. A lot of times we isolate. It's not the time to do it. And what follows, we're more familiar with this scripture perhaps in Acts 2, 1 through 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Still one place, obeying. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Didn't leave anybody out. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Promise kept, hope fulfilled. And you know what's crazy? The church is born. The church is born out of that obedience and the waiting. The church is born. And this is what the God of hope does. The Holy Spirit shapes us in the waiting so that we can be empowered in the assignment. And when I say assignment, I'm not just thinking of, okay, like vocational career things. No, the assignment that we have in our hand right now. What was the assignment for the disciples? Tell everyone everywhere about Jesus, all to the ends of earth. That was their assignment. Guess what? They fulfilled their assignment. And that same assignment has actually impacted all of us. Have we all heard the gospel? If you haven't, just wait. That same gospel, we received it. In your waiting, here's a tip to get out of it really quick. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Man, go to a hurt, broken, lost world and tell them about the living hope of Jesus Christ. Watch hope arise. That was the assignment from the disciples. And they showed us obedience. They showed us what it meant. See, waiting doesn't mean that God has forgotten you. Waiting does not mean God has forgotten you. Waiting means that God is forming something in you. He is shaping you. It's like a seed in the soil. You know what happens to a seed in the soil? A seed is waiting to grow into what God intended it to grow into. But what happens? It goes down into the dirt. Where does the most impactful formation happen in the seed? It's hidden under the soil. That's where the most important growth happens. Before it gets to that place that God intends for it to be, man, it is growing and it is forming and it is being shaped under the dirt in the darkness. It does its most important work underground, a place where no one sees it. Point number three, hidden seasons are holy seasons. You can reframe your waiting. Ask the Holy Spirit to conform your heart, to turn that season into a hidden time and a holy time with Jesus, and watch what happens. Some of the greatest people in the Bible, they were shaped in hidden seasons of waiting. Did you know that Acts says that Moses was hidden for 40 years before an angel appeared to him in the burning bush? David spent years in the field as a forgotten shepherd boy before he became king. Joseph was betrayed, forgotten, and falsely accused, and spent 13 years in slavery before being elevated into leadership. Paul spent 14 years in development following his road to Damascus encounter. He went right away and taught the gospel, preached the gospel, but there was more than a decade of development before he was commissioned out. John the Baptist, 30 years in the wilderness. 30 years in the wilderness. The Bible says it's an obscure place where God shaped him. In what? Shaped him in silence before his public ministry. How about Jesus? 30 years. He waited 30 years before his public ministry. You know what else he waited for? He also waited in agony in the garden before the cross. And he didn't wait for relief, but he actually waited for God's will to be done. All these guys were shaped. They were waiting. Waiting is not wasted. Waiting is not wasted. God uses waiting to shape our character into what's needed to be more like Christ. He wants to reach you in your waiting. God does his deepest work in the seasons that nobody sees. Just like that seed in the soil, nobody sees it. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work in us. You know, at the beginning of the year, I had my own season of waiting just this year. Some health issues that I went through, waiting on some clarity from doctors, uncertainty. I was praying for direction, praying for clarity. And in that season, I want you to know the Holy Spirit formed and built a stronger foundation in me, stronger foundation of Him. And what I realized in that moment is this, that we tend to think that we climb ladders in Christianity. We climb ladders in Christianity and go right to the top. We think we go up in Christianity. That is not what happens. You know what happens in Christianity? We go wide. We build foundations that go wide in the Lord. The Lord can't build on something if it has a weak foundation. He expands our foundation of what relationship with Him looks like. Where do you think that's formed? It's formed in the silence, in the hidden places that nobody sees. I'm telling you right now, you did not want me up here 10 years ago. Foundation, alone time with Him, building, building, building. We don't go up, we go wide. We build foundations. And that is what happened in that season for me of waiting. He actually built a foundation on things that in my mind I thought were basic. I'll take you back to that place over and over to rebuild, to rebuild, to rebuild. Those basic things in my mind, it was like reading my Bible more. It was like prayer. Hey, when was the last time that you really specifically prayed for certain outcomes, protection over your kids? Not just, I pray for Gracie, Judah, Kristen, thank you, Lord. God, I love you, and I pray for, no. Those quote unquote basics. And you wanna know what else He built in that season of waiting for me that was really impactful, might sound a little bit crazy? Faith. Simple faith. And that's what was revealed to me. And that tendency, when I go from hope into worst case scenarios or hope into worry, man, my faith is so small. But when I'm overwhelmed with hope in Jesus, man, my faith is big. Jesus, that is not gonna happen because You are who You say You are. You are a deliverer. I am healed in Jesus' name. Man, He took me back to that place that I thought in my mind was so basic, simple, foundational truths. And that's what all those guys that I mentioned did in those years of waiting. Look at all the things that they did. Do you know how strong their foundation in the Lord must have been? Man, He wants to do it for all of us. He wants to develop deeper relationship with Him and the Father in our seasons of waiting. Because here is the truth. Even in the waiting, sometimes dark and lonely waiting, God's promises stand true. You know, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 24 years old. And right after I did that, I had a friend. This is a true story. A friend said, man, you know what? About 10 years ago, some time ago, I actually wrote your name on the steel beam when our new church was under construction. It was a lot to take in. But I was like, that's cool. That didn't really hit me then like it did right now. It's like, wait a second. As I think through this message of what it means to have hope in the waiting, for years, my friend had hope in the waiting that someday I would serve Jesus. He wrote my name on one of those beams and claimed me for the kingdom. As I was living my life in sin, He was clinging on to hope in the waiting. Now that just absolutely blows my mind because my life was so dark. It was in such despair at that time when He wrote that. It's hard to even fathom. You know how easy it would have been for Him to just give up on that? And the fact that He remembered that He did it and He told me. Man, He was clinging to hope for a friend to experience Jesus. That's what hope does in the waiting. See, God's promises are still alive, they're still working, and they're still being fulfilled in Christ. Luke 1, 78, 79, it says, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. Man, the morning light is about to break through. Hope was declared through the promise of light in Isaiah 9. Hope is fulfilled through the reality of light dawning in Luke 1. He still is who he says he is, and he is still good on his promises. From Isaiah's prophecy to Zechariah's song to the upper room, hope has always been pictured as light breaking through the darkness. And that's what Advent reminds us of. Even when it feels like God is silent, his light is already on the horizon. His light is on the horizon. John 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Man, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. You don't want me to sing it, but Jesus is our true light, our living hope, our anchor for our souls, the one that darkness can never extinguish. Even in times of great spiritual and moral darkness that we're sitting in right now, the darkness of evil will never win. Darkness never has and never will overcome the light. He is our true living hope. And this morning, I want you to know that he is for you and he is not against you and he sees you as you wait for your promise to be delivered. He hasn't left you and he will never leave you. We can take comfort that he is who he says he is. So this morning, I just want to take a few moments and I want to reflect on his goodness. But I want the Holy Spirit to do a deep heart work in us. There's going to be two questions on the screen. Don't start thinking about this afternoon. Start thinking about your lunch plans, thinking about what you're going to do when you leave. The Holy Spirit is here and he is speaking to our hearts. He wants to make you more like Jesus. He wants to meet you in that place for fresh revelation. What does the Holy Spirit want to shape in me while I wait? Where do I need his light to break through today? Let's think about it a bit. God, you are who you say that you are. You are good. You're for us, not against us. You want to speak to us and encourage us and encounter us in our waiting. Jesus, we are here for you. Holy Spirit, do the work in us. Give us boldness to go share the gospel. Let hope arise in our hearts from the source of our living hope, Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. If you're here and you feel like you are in darkness, or you feel like you're walking in despair, we want to pray for you. I want to pray over you right now, if that's you. I also want to remind you, don't walk out of here with it. We'll have a prayer team down front. I want you to come boldly at the end of the service and ask for prayer. But I quickly just feel like I should pray over that right now. Jesus, you are our living hope. So right now, I pray that hope arises in the souls of those who are walking in darkness and despair, Jesus. For those clinging to healing in their body, for those clinging to your truth that a loved one will be saved in the name of Jesus, I pray for hope to arise in them, Lord, in a mighty and a strong and a powerful way. Use our seasons of waiting to focus on you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're here and you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, or you have at one time, but you walked away from him. I just want to read a prayer and you can all say it out loud, even if you are on fire and following Jesus right now, but you can bow your heads and you can repeat this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he came to earth, shed his blood on a cross for the forgiveness of my sin. I repent of my sin. I believe Jesus rose from the dead so I can be raised from spiritual death and have eternal life. I believe in my heart and I say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for making me new. I will never be the same again. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, I want you to put your hand up in the air. Our ushers have a Bible for you. On the count of three, come on. If you made the decision to follow him, first time a recommitment, let's put our hands up. One, two, three, hands up. Come on, the ushers got a Bible. Can we give Jesus some praise this morning for what he's doing? He is moving. He wants to meet you in that place that you're at. If you received a Bible, you can take that to the connections room. You can talk with somebody about what it means to follow Jesus. And your next step in doing that is being water baptized. Jesus is good. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? If you're new here, you can also stop by the connections room in the back of the auditorium. If you're a young adult, 18 to 30, you can stop at the back of the auditorium to my left. And again, a reminder, if you're heavy and you want someone to pray with you over that heaviness that's in your heart, come down to the front. Amen. Awesome. Have an awesome Sunday. We will see you next week.